Welcome to the Disciple Making Leader Podcast, your resource for exploring the world of disciple making and leadership within the church. Discover Jesus' strategy for raising up leaders, growing the church, and multiplying a movement. Let's jump into today's episode and explore the power of a disciple making leader.
All right. Well, welcome back to the Disciple Making Leader Podcast. My name is Glenn Underhill. I am the executive director of Disciple First, a ministry that exists really to help equip and empower ministry leaders to make and multiply disciples like Jesus. And the guy hanging out with me here in the studio is my great friend and longtime ministry compadre, Craig. Is that a good word?
Hey, compadre. Brother, I like that. Sounds like Nacho Libre.
Yeah, one of our favorite movies, right? But we probably shouldn't be revealing those things on a podcast right now. But anyhow, Craig, welcome aboard. So excited about today. Last time on our podcast, we really kind of talked about this whole idea of what a disciple-making leader is.
And
really kind of is not.
Right.
We talked about not a superstar, but he really, you know, and we had some very crystal clear definition of a disciple-making leader, and we talked about the necessity of why to have one. But on this podcast, we really want to start getting down to, as my friend Nacho would say, down to the nitty-gritty.
The nitty-gritty.
and really talk about this idea. If you're going to be a disciple-making leader, you got to go back and say, what is a disciple and why does it really matter to your church?
Yeah.
Right? And I know that our conversation is really going to be really kind of helping to really bring some definition to this idea of a disciple. I know a lot of times when we're training and coaching, people look at us and like, why are you guys making such a big deal about this? But again, if we're commanded to make disciples and produce disciple makers, wouldn't it be very important for us to know what the target is, right? What we're really trying to hit. I believe Jesus knew exactly what a fully trained disciple was. So let's talk about that. Let's kind of unpack that. Let's take that deep dive. So are you ready?
I'm ready, buddy. Let's do it.
All right.
We're going to pop the hood and jump down into it.
I like it a lot. So let's start with this idea. Good friend of ours, we've probably mentioned 1,000 times, but Bill Hull, in one of his books, said that the crisis of the church in North America is its end product.
Yes.
Do you agree with that? And if you do agree with it, why do you agree with it? Because really, that's, you know, I think that's a great starting point, launching point for us to talk about this crisis.
Well, I mean, you know, not to be Debbie Downer here, but you know, I mean, look at what we're producing. You know, I mean, let's just think about it. Is North America becoming more godly or less? You know, we're having people attending massive churches, right? Are we really taking ground and seeing more and more people coming to faith and more people living out the life of Jesus? Or are we seeing less and less of that? And that's a little anecdotal. I mean, I guess anybody can answer that however they want. But I mean, when I look around, man, I just don't see a lot of people really living out the life of a disciple. I think people go to church. I think people are entertained by church. I see a lot of people hopping around, right? We see that. A lot of people hopping from one thing to the next. They're enamored. They're infatuated with a leader. Oh, boy, I really like this preacher. I really like this preacher. I'm watching online.
Or I like the music.
Like
or
the band.
Right.
Or kids program or whatever, or student program. But are they really making Jesus their first priority? You don't see a lot of that.
Right.
And it's certainly not a growing number. And so if Bill is right that the crisis of the church today is what we're producing, then the best thing we need to ask is, you know, what are we actually producing? And it's one thing to kind of talk about it. Glenn, you and I say this all the time. It's one thing to kind of poo-poo on the church in general.
Right.
So let's just come down and look at ours.
Yeah.
You know, let's do it.
What
are we producing? What did we produce this last year? Could we actually give you names of people that we say, hey, they've come to faith in Jesus, they're growing, they're deployed in the mission. I mean, can we really know that we are making disciples of Jesus?
Hey, when you say that, it reminds me, when I was in student ministry, we were banging away on this.
Oh, yeah.
Back, and I remember back thinking about through this, and it dawned on me, and this, I think this is where it really started to really impact me personally, was I could say, hey, there's, you know, this or this or this spattering, right?
Right.
But it was all by through what I like to call divine accident.
Yeah. No doubt.
I mean, it's all Jesus is doing. It's all spirit directed and it's all a supernatural, right, process. However, all of that was out of what I like to call in my early stages of ministry, divine accident. There was no intentionality. There was no thought behind it.
Right.
And as you were saying, as I was trying to think about names of even people in my own life and in my ministry's life, I was like, oh, ouch.
Yeah.
That really hurts. Yeah. Because it's not happening in cooperation with the Spirit. The Spirit is doing it in spite of us.
Sometimes, yeah, having to plow around us. You know, I would think about. I recently read a book on John Wesley, and it was talking about what did Wesley do. And of course, we can dive into his methods, so to speak. I mean, he was so good with his methods of making disciples that they were called Methodists, right? For that very reason.
Right.
But one of the things he did was he would take copious notes of people and where they were in the process and who was emerging as multiplying leaders. I mean, they have handwritten notes of what he wrote and names. And I'm thinking about all the places that he preached and all the ministries he started, yet he was that granular to really have a list of people that he's discipling and who is a disciple that can multiply. And if he could do that at that small level and yet have such a huge impact, right? I mean, right. Wesley really protected Europe from tumbling into a terrible revolution like what happened in France. He really was instrumental. We still feel the impacts of Wesley still today. How much more do we need to be that focused on, are we really making disciples, right? What does that even mean? I mean, I went to business school, and they would talk about this manufacturing, a manufacturer that makes widgets, right? And it was always a widget this, widget that. And you're like, okay, what is a widget? Well, we don't know, but we're making them. Well, that people treat disciple that way. Oh, yeah, we're making disciples. I mean, I don't know of a pastor that you and I have talked to that doesn't say they make disciples. But then when you get down to saying, okay, what is a disciple? How do you know that? How do you measure that? It gets really quiet.
Yeah, I think what we most often hear is, yeah, we agree to that we need to be making disciples, and we're all in, right? We're sold the farm out to it. But when we stop to say, okay, well then tell us what a disciple looks like in your particular area of ministry or your context, as it relates back to what Jesus was wanting, it's like deafening silence.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I think it's because we're not really very clear in our own minds, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, some guys will say a disciple is a believer, and that certainly is a part of being of a mature disciple. But if you just do a cursory study, I mean, I think disciple is used 230 times in the Gospels. I think another 28 times in the book of Acts. If you just pulled all those up, and I actually have a printout of every time the word disciple is used, and then some of those are just like descriptive, like the disciple went here and went there. So you call those out, and you just pull down terms that describe what a disciple is, right? And you start to compile that. It's much more than just a believer. I mean, that's the beginning part, but a disciple is somebody that's growing and walking with Jesus, engaged in the mission of Jesus. There's a lot to it. And so I think we have to, as ministry leaders, take this very seriously and say, okay, what is a disciple? How do you define that? And to me, that's a critical piece early on.
Right.
Because if we're not focused on that, then what are we doing? You know, it's like saying, I'm going to manufacture a car but yet I don't have any, I don't really know what the specs are for a car. I really don't know how, what it's going to look like. And I've not got anything in my manufacturing process set up to make that car.
Right. Or even the tools that might, we might need.
Right.
To, or because I might be using the wrong set of tools.
Right.
To do it. Right.
Exactly. So we would never do that in a manufacturing process, but we do that all the time in the church. And I think, you know, that's because most of the time we don't think of our church as a manufacturing place where we're making something. We think of it more as a place where we come and people take in goods, spiritual goods and services, right?
Right.
So we preach, we do groups, we do all this kind of stuff. And that's what we do as a church. We're not really making anything. And consequently, we don't think about it in terms of that. I love what you say. You always say the difference between a menu and a map, right?
Right.
That we're giving a great menu. Here's our menu to prospective members of our church. Here's all the things we can do for you. But we should be giving them a map that says, this is where you are. This is where we want to take you.
Right.
To where you will truly be a mature, multiplying disciple of Jesus. Now, whether you take that journey with us or not, that's on you.
Right.
But it's on us to make it clear what the next step is. And I think we have a lot of people in our churches that would love to know what the next step is. They think they're just destined for weekly worship services, and that's all.
Or giving, or
again, serving, or something serving, like that.
And yeah, and not that those things aren't important. Please.
Right.
Don't hear me on that, but
no, yeah.
Don't hear that I'm not saying that those things aren't important.
Giving is very important.
Yes, it is very important. And it's a very important part of being a disciple.
It is.
Right? However, if that's all it's relegated to, you're right. I think people think, wow, you know, I'll never get to the super saint status.
Yeah,
it's right. Only for the super spiritual elite, so I'll settle for something less than, and I know that is not what Jesus had in mind. And, you know, I love the Gospels. It talks in Luke 6:40, it talks about, you know, that a student will be like his teacher when he is fully trained.
Yes.
And I think about that a lot, fully trained. And you said something, someone may not make that decision or choice to do that, but they can be fully trained to be that. And if they will cooperate with the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and the people of God, then great things can come from that. And that preferred destination can be part of the normative process. But I don't think that Jesus ever intended consumerism to be the end goal.
No, but that is where we're at.
Yep.
I think that is, again, another one of these, another one of the ways that the culture has invaded the church. Okay. That it's about consumerism and not necessarily about following Jesus, making disciples, and helping people take the next steps on their spiritual journey. And so this is really, really important for us. I remember talking with a guy that I discipled, and he said, I got a friend I want you to meet. So we met at Torchy's Tacos, and which, by the way, their queso is like to die for. Anyway,
yeah. Well,
give a little shout out to Torchy's.
Torchy's there. Yeah.
Anyway, excuse me. We're sitting there, and this guy has made a ton of money. He's very successful in his career, right? And so we're sitting here talking to him, and I'm talking to him about what does it mean to be a disciple, and what are the steps that Jesus took his guys to really maximize, you know, their spiritual influence and kind of where he would be at in this process. I just basically drew a little map for him,
right,
and said, this is where you are and this is your next step. And I told him, I said, look, I know you're very successful at your job, but you were made for more than that. Mm. I mean, yeah, you can make money, but Jesus called you to make something more significant, and that is to make disciples, people that will make a difference in this world and for eternity. Mm. And I'll never forget, man, it's like the light bulb was coming on, like, man, there's more to this life. And this guy rocked back in his chair, and he said, I've been waiting my whole life for this.
Wow.
And I think that resonates with most people in the pew, right?
Right.
They're like, well, I'm listening to good, you know, listening to good sermons, and I'm listening to good, you know, Christian music, and I volunteer and I'm giving, but is my life really making a difference. You know, I think we're made for more than that. And it gets down to what is a disciple? What is our core calling? What did Jesus call us to do? And getting people to that point. That's where the joy is in life. And that's really our job as ministry leaders to do that.
Right. Absolutely. Well, I think it would be really important maybe for us to even talk about how did we, as we were walking this journey out, because I think if you're going to raise up disciple-making leaders, you have to start with what is a disciple. That's the first place, because it will lead to then raising up disciple-making leaders, but you got to be able to define what a disciple is. So let's talk a little bit about the Genesis. You like my word there?
Oh, I do like that.
It's really nice. kind of the Genesis, how that kind of maybe got...
The origin story.
Origin story. Kind of how that kind of came about as we were trying to really process this out. What did we... talk about. What did we do? What happened? How did that come about? And then kind of the definition, a biblical definition that we have really landed on, that I think helps to get us all on that same page and really be hyper-focused on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you and I were in a church together. We were both super young. I had hair back then. Yeah. I mean, it was...
I'm sitting here looking at your bald head.
I know, the beautiful bald head.
Yep, shiny. It's like the Shekinah glory.
That's right. And man, we were in this church. It was, in a very diverse inner city kind of environment. Man, I remember we had a little Mexico right below the church, like a couple blocks. We had this big flea market. Mostly everybody spoke Spanish. Great tamales down there. And then Vietnam, a couple blocks away, all the stores, grocery stores, doctor's offices, all in Vietnamese. And I'm just trying to paint the picture that it was a very
multicultural
spot, and also very economically diverse. I mean, we'd have some wealthy people in the area and then a lot of homeless. We had a lot of people coming off the street in those church services. So it was just a really diverse church, and we were banging away at it, trying to make it grow. And we really weren't moving the needle. And so we asked this consultant to come and, evaluate our ministry. And he gave a report, and that report was not good. You remember what was in that report?
Yep. You have a terminal disease.
Yeah, that's what
you were going to die. This church was going to die.
Yeah. And I mean, that was shocking.
It was. And he put a time limit on, kind of a time frame on it, and the whole nine yards. I can remember going, oh, man, do I need to be looking for a new job?
No, me too. I mean, it was very depressing, honestly, because he was saying, hey, you're swimming upstream. It's not a matter of your quality or preaching or whatever. It's all has to do with kind of the dynamics around the church and in the church and how those are kind of a mismatch, and you better relocate or it's going to die. And man, that just drove us to desperation. I mean, we were like, oh, I'm kind of at the end. I don't know really what to do. And we started praying early in the mornings, just praying, asking God to move and speak to us. And part of what came out of that season of prayer was this idea from the Lord that, hey, we're pursuing all these different church models, what other churches are doing, but we really have not given ourselves to Jesus's model, that Jesus is the model for life and ministry. Mm-hmm. We preached the red letters and we looked at the methods of Jesus, but we didn't see him as a model for how our church should function. Right. And honestly, Glenn, you and I never heard about that before. We'd never been in a church like that. We didn't hear about that in seminary. This was a new concept. And so we just started pursuing, okay, what did Jesus do? We got a hold of a harmony of the Gospels.
Right.
And we started digging through that, and we started learning that Jesus had an intentional plan. And one thing we knew is that Jesus was fixated on making disciples that multiply. We knew that.
Right. We knew what the end looked like in mind.
Right.
And then we needed to kind of work our way back
to
the beginning, but then seeing that there was a very clear picture of what a true disciple looked like.
Right, absolutely. And so it really kind of at the very beginning forced us to ask the question, what is a disciple? Which seems like a very obvious answer, right? At the beginning, of course, it's Christian, right?
Right.
But the more we studied it and we pulled out those 230 you know, references to disciple in the Gospels, 28 times in the book of Acts. We started looking through these and we started making a list. I don't even remember the first.
Yep,
it was
remember.
A long list of kind of behaviors and character qualities of a disciple. And I remember the first time we rolled that out to our leaders, they were like, their eyes glazed over because it was just too much to take.
So big
in.
Learning right there, right? We were trying to be biblical, but it was just way too complicated.
Yes.
We picked up very quickly that wonderful, but if we could, again, make it a little bit more simplistic but biblical,
right,
it would be a whole lot more helpful.
Yeah, it just wasn't digestible, you know, to our people, and it was just too much. And I'd like to tease, I always have the spiritual gift of complication anyway. You know, I can take something simple and make it complicated. And so anyway, we kept banging at it and simplifying it more and more and more. And we finally got it down to a definition that is very simple, but functional,
right?
You know, it help it. We can actually use it,
right,
as a tool to evaluate
and to measure
whether we are making disciples still today. And so, yeah.
In fact,
so,
I like to say it needs to be biblical, it needs to be simple, and it needs to be measurable.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think this definition really became that crux of what we were looking for.
Right. And Glenn, I would just say, hey, we're going to talk about what that definition here is here in just a minute, but man, don't take our definition. You know, you've got the same access. You look at the scriptures yourself, you evaluate them, you pour over them, you pray over them, and you craft the definition of a disciple that's best for you. We were in a church in Nashville, and they had their definition of disciple like in all their groups, and I was just super excited that they had one.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Because we see so little of it.
Right.
And there are, and we'd be happy as an organization to even share with you a list of other churches that we've been working with who've crafted a definition of a disciple. It looks different than our definition. There are some that have taken ours and expanded on it, some that have kept the same, or others that have done different. Our good friend Ken Adams has a very strong definition. He calls it the seven marks of a disciple. So, I mean, but they know what it looks like and what they're aiming for and what that target really is.
Yes, yes. And that's the key. And really, you can't create a disciple-making culture without first defining what a disciple is.
Or raising up disciple-making leaders apart from that.
That's right. That's exactly right. So I would just say just getting clarity on what is a disciple is critical and fundamental to raising up disciple-making leaders.
Well, that's fantastic. And I think, you know, it would be super important for us to kind of let's kind of even now take even a little bit more of a deeper dive and just say, okay, so how did we go, what was the definition of a disciple that we, you know, as we were working through the Gospels that we came up with that was you know, biblical, simple, and measurable.
Yeah, yeah. So we basically call it a 3D disciple. Think about three-dimensional, fully orbed. This is a picture of a disciple fully grown, okay? So it's not a disciple in their infancy. It's kind of a snapshot of what a mature disciple would look like.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah, fully mature. Yep.
Right. So the 3Ds, the first one is devoted. So this is a person that's given their life to Christ. They're devoted to Jesus. And so, of course, you're not going to have a disciple until they're a believer, right? And so a lot of guys will say, that's it. You know, a disciple is just a believer only, and I'm making disciples when I do evangelism. We would argue that you're beginning to make a disciple. You got the first piece down, but that person's not fully developed, right, and fully orbed until you get all three of these Ds. But the first one is important. They're devoted to Jesus. They've given their life to Christ. They've heard the gospel. They've repented of their sin. They've turned in saving faith to Jesus. They're born again. Yeah, that's the first one.
Yep. Yeah. So that first one is super important, right? That devoted piece. But I always like to say, is that all that Jesus had in mind of someone who was fully trained to change the world?
Right. So we know there's got to be more to it than that.
So as we kind of kept digging and digging, a second one began to emerge.
Next one is developing, this person is developing in the character and competency of Jesus. So we know that there's some a development maturation part to being a disciple, right? It's not static. You know, as a disciple, you're growing, you're maturing, right?
Right.
Jim Putnam, that, you know, has written extensively, you know, he has the kind of the pre-birth and then the birth and infant child and so on. And that's great. There are several great scriptures that really relate to that. So I really appreciate what Jim is doing there. But there is some kind of development that happens in a disciple's journey. And so what we said is there are really two parts of that development. There needs to be a character development so that internally they're beginning to be more and more like Jesus. I used to have an anger problem. Now I'm more patient. You know, I used to have a porn problem. Now, you know, I'm learning to walk in purity,
self-control, or, and
whatever the case may be. And as you've discipled guys, I mean, you see that. You them. You're banging on their character.
Right.
And you're wanting to see the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You're trying to develop that. You know, the 1 Corinthians 13, love, you know, not seeking its own, you know, that kind of thing is what you're working on. So you want to do that, but you also need to develop them in these certain competencies that will help them to multiply. And when you start diving into the life of Jesus and what did he train his disciples to do, not just to become, but to do, there were some certain skills they had to master,
right?
They had to understand the Word of God. They had to, he trained them in prayer. At least two different occasions, we know him teaching them the Lord's Prayer, one at the beginning of his ministry, one at the end of his ministry. He trained them multiple times in cross-cultural evangelism and sharing their faith, right? From the Gadarene demoniac to the woman at the well, to the Syrophoenician woman. I mean, we could go on and on. He trained them to deal with criticism and hypocrisy, and you know, there's a list of things that he's trained them to do, and then we see them deploying that training in the book of Acts,
right?
You know, where they're boldly preaching the gospel and they're creating community and they're multiplying leaders. So we said character and competency are the two things that we really want to work on when you're developing a disciple. And so the tools that we've chosen kind of follow that trek, you know.
And I want to make sure to point out, because, you know, we the first D was they're devoted to Jesus, right?
Right.
But then you use the word developing, not developed, developing.
Yeah.
And that's super important because it's an ongoing process. This side of eternity, we will never be fully developed, but we are in the journey of becoming more and more like Jesus on this side of heaven. And I think that's super important to point out because, my son who plays baseball, you know, his swing coach used to always say, you know, Lennon, the best hitters in baseball are not perfect. They're just consistent. And so we are learning as we're developing how to be more and more consistent and more balanced. And it starts with that character piece because it starts with the being piece.
Right.
And as the being is really being refined and worked on and developed, then we start to take on those competencies pieces, which will then help us now have the skills to do what Jesus did. And I love it because we tried to really kind of narrow those down to three things that we could really measure, right? We talk about walking with God.
Right.
You got to start there, right? It all stops and starts. I mean, well, not stops, but it really starts there. I mean, it's so important. We got to learn to remain in him and taking on a lot of those same habits and characteristics you just talked about. But then reaching their world. I mean, Jesus had you cannot read the Gospels and know that he did not have a heart for people who were far from the Father.
No doubt.
And he trained his men to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't, you know, disciple making begins with evangelism and it ends with evangelism.
That's right.
Right. And then the third piece is investing in a few, how to really pour your life into a few relationally to help them then turn around and to do the exact same thing walking with the walking with God, reaching their friends, their world, and then investing in a few.
And you know, Glenn, that sounds very simple, but it really is that simple. I mean, to me, those were the skills that Jesus trained his disciples to do, and those were the skills they deployed that created a movement. Yeah. And so when you're discipling someone and you're developing them, that developing piece, you've got to be sure that the curriculum you're using is drilling down into those skills.
Yeah.
And I find a lot of guys that they'll say, well, you know, I'm discipling a guy and we're just doing a Bible study. And of course, Bible study is very important. You and I would both agree we need just Bible study for sure. But when you're discipling someone, you need to be sure you're drilling down on these skills,
right, that
they can learn and make sure they have it down and they can multiply that in the life of somebody else in the walking with God, reaching the world, investing in a few. So that's important. And the curriculum that we've developed follows that,
right,
and really tries to make that super clear. And I tell you what, I mean, people may have been a Christian a long time and don't have those skills down, yep. You know? I've got a group of guys right now, we're meeting tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. at a coffee shop, and many of these guys have been believers for a long time, but they're being challenged in a fresh, new way,
right,
to really grab a hold of these things.
And live them out as a lifestyle,
right,
consistently.
Yes,
as a pattern of who they are. Because, you know, we want to act, think, and be like Jesus.
Right.
Yeah. So you have devoted, you have developing.
Right.
But again, that's not all that Jesus had in mind in a fully trained disciple. What's this last D?
The last one is deployed. And this is deployed into what? Into the mission of Jesus. So I'm devoted to Jesus. I'm developing in the character and competencies of Jesus. And I'm now deployed into the mission of Jesus. You think about deployment, right? Somebody that's deployed in the military, they're going into enemy territory and they're accomplishing the mission that's given to them. Right. Yep. And so Jesus has given us this mission to make disciples and make disciples. So how are they living that out in what we like to say the four fields where they live, learn, work, and play, right? We're cultivating relationships in all these four little fields, all right? And we're cultivating, we're developing relationships where we live, where we learn, where we work, where we play. But how are we going into that to make disciples? Are we sharing our faith? Are we cultivating relationship with people far from God? Are we discipling people and investing our lives and the lives of others in those contexts? And so we would say, man, if somebody's doing that, are they fully developed forever? You know, I mean, no, but they've been fully trained. They've been trained to make disciples and to multiply the movement in those areas.
So let's get really crystal clear on this. So a disciple, as I'm understanding from that definition, would be here at our church, would be a disciple is someone who is devoted to Jesus, is developing the character and the competencies of Jesus, and is deployed into the mission of Jesus.
Yes.
Thus, our 3D disciple.
That's it.
Devoted, developing, and deployed.
Yeah, and you can see this even in when Jesus spoke in Matthew 4:18. He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. See that, how it breaks down?
Yeah.
Follow me, that's the devotion.
Right.
I will make you, that's the developing piece. Fishers of men, that's the deployed into the mission. And so we see that in as you were reading Jesus, we can already begin to see how he's developing that in his disciples.
Yeah, that's so good. And so again, I just, as we kind of bring this podcast to a close, I just want to, again, remind us of the absolute importance of really drilling in, and if we're going to raise up disciple-making leaders, we have to first begin with this idea, what is a disciple, and why does it matter so much,
yeah.
And then get hyper-focused on really, you know, working out that definition and beginning to shape your culture, so to speak, to really reflect and to build that 3D disciple. And we talk a lot about that in the book you wrote early on, that kind of shared our story, mm-hmm. You know, these last couple places we've been in, that bold moves, and it right. talks about moving from decisions to making disciples.
Right.
And that second step, and it's easy to want to jump over it. It's easy to want, but you cannot raise up disciple making leaders apart from having a very clear, concrete, what I would call a biblical, simple, and measurable definition of a disciple, because without it, you're just kind of shooting in the wind and hoping that you might make a disciple by accident. And that's not at all what Jesus had in mind.
Yeah, absolutely. And so a couple of things I'd like to say right quick as we wrap this up. Number one is, hey, if you're listening and you're a pastor, man, make this a top of your list to do. Mm. I mean, you will be so glad that you have a clarity as to what is a disciple. If you're not a senior pastor, maybe I'm a youth pastor, maybe I'm a kids pastor, maybe I'm, you know, some other role, you can still create that clarity for the ministry that you have.
Right.
And so go ahead and begin to do the research, pull out the verses, create and craft that definition. There are lots of other ministries that have different definitions, so you know, investigate them.
Yep.
Second thing I would just say is, you know, this making disciples really is the work of the church. You know, and Glenn, you and I have talked about this a lot, but we see this in the life of Jesus when he was with the woman at the well, right? She runs back in the town to talk about what Jesus has done for her. And Jesus tells his disciples, you know, my food is to do the will of my Father and to finish his work, to accomplish his work. He said, this is what satisfies me, right? This is what fills me. I don't even think about food because, man, I'm so satisfied with doing the work of making disciples and multiply. You see the same thing in John 9, verse 4, when Jesus said, we must work the works of him who sent me while it's still day. Night is coming when no man can work. And so there's a sense of urgency. You know, we got to work the works. In fact, in our church, in our staff, we always say, go work the works, man. We got to work the works. We know what that means. That means we got to be busy making disciples, right? But then in John 17, 4, you know, right before Jesus goes to the cross, he, in his high priestly prayer, he says, Father, I have glorified your name by accomplishing the work you gave me to do. Mm. Just think about that. What a joy in his heart to say, I did it. I accomplished the work, this work of creating a movement of multiplying disciples. It had already gone from him to the 12 to the 72, now to others also. Four generations were already on the move
right.
before Jesus ever went to the cross. And so, you know, this is the work that God's called all of us to do. And if we're going to make disciple-making leaders, we have to start by knowing what a disciple is. Yep. And this is the beginning of that good work.
Yep. And that's a great way to kind of tie it all up and wrap it up. Craig, thank you for hanging out with me for a little bit.
You bet,
talking
brother.
About this idea of raising up disciple-making leaders, but it starts with really having a solid definition of what a disciple really is. So if you're more interested in this, conversation, or even in maybe a tool or a resource, let me encourage you to go to our website. It's disciplefirst.com. There's a great resource on the link called The Disciple Making Leader. It's a great book that Pastor Craig has just recently written. And so we'd love to get that out to you. So again, thank you for spending a few moments with us. We hope this has been helpful and productive, and that you really are now having a vision to really raise up not only disciples, but disciple-making leaders. We look forward to catching up with you on our next podcast. And again, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for listening to the Disciple Making Leader podcast, brought to you by Disciple First. We hope today's episode has been both helpful and challenging in your journey to becoming a disciple making leader. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button to make sure you hear the next episode. And if you have a moment, we'd love to hear your thoughts. Leave a review and share this podcast with your friends. Until next time, keep making Jesus the model for your life and ministry.